Anyway, but if stay with me, I want to get to the point. And you know what? 50 years ago, Father's Day, I became a Christian. And I need you to know this morning. Of course, I'll give you a first word title, then I'll give you my title that I have titled it in just a few minutes. Expectations. Now, before I pray, I don't know you. I don't know what you came in with. I don't know what you'll go out with. I have no clue. All I want to say here is, if you came with no expectation, you may be surprised. If you came with a low expectation, you might be surprised. You just may be surprised. Because God is still God, and He's still on the throne, and He can do what God wants to do, when and where and how He wants to do it. So, let's have prayer. We'll go to the book of Proverbs, and we'll take five verses there. A lot of the places I will just give you the verse. I'll read the verse, or either I'll quote the verse, and maybe we'll end good time. Brother Jake said that we started 10:30, and you got plenty of time. So I'll try my best to get you out before you get tired and weary of me, okay? Lord, thank you for this day, these people, this church. Thank you so much for how you've blessed, how you've worked, and Lord, how we have even, as I have just said, been so blessed by this ministry. And I pray, God, that you will build that wall around it. Keep these people safe. Keep this ministry safe. And I pray, Lord, that they'll continue to reach the folks in this surrounding area. And Lord, if there be anybody in this place today that is lost, just unsaved or unsure, I pray this day, even though they may not have come expecting, that maybe something would happen. I pray it will. If there be somebody here, Lord, today, saved, but just not living for you. Maybe they didn't come today expecting to have a great change, but I pray that will happen if it's needed. And I pray most of all that you'll be magnified, honored, and glorified, lifted up. And we're going to praise you and thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And by the way, the singing also just uplifting and wonderful. First class. Let's go, if you will. You go ahead and find, if you will, we'll start with Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18. Proverbs 23, 18. Thank you for, by the way, bringing your Bibles. And I'm not knocking you if you're on your phone or whatever, okay? But I just like it when people have their Bibles, because that way you can tell they got the Word of God instead of Facebook or all that mess, you know, what I'm talking about. Anyway, we got that out of the way, didn't we? Okay. All right. But, you know, life is made up of all kind of expectations, and most of them are unreasonable. How many have ever had an unreasonable expectation? And it flopped and it failed and... you hit the bottom. You say, what's going on here? You know, sometimes it happens in love life. Sometimes it happens in money. Friendships, expectations, sometimes are very disappointed. Sometimes these are unreasonable. Sometimes they are. But most of them all of them unreasonable are not based on biblical fact. Now, if you get your expectation out of biblical fact, you're on good ground. You're on good ground there, because you can trust what God said. You can trust what God does. Sometimes, though, an expectation can be placed in the wrong place and there'd be great disappointment. Anyway, every one of the valid expectations in life come out of the Word of God, out of the truth of God. If you're here today and you're not quite used to the things of God, maybe church has not been in your life, maybe you haven't been saved, maybe today you will get from here and this ministry that our expectations that are real and valid and eternal come from the Word, from the Bible, from the promises of God in the Word of God. Now, in fact, by the way, God has told us that we as believers have some exceeding great and precious promises. Right. These aren't just flippant things God has said. These are exceeding great and precious promises. And by the way, they're unique to God because only God can give them and keep them. You can find that later. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. But I'm encountering Christians, a lot of Christians that have unreasonable expectations that are not based on biblical fact. We will get to some of the ones in just a minute. Now, look if you will. And by the way, unsaved people, I can't tell you, the unsaved people have unreasonable expectations about how they're going to go to heaven. And we can name all those things. We have named them. I'm a good person. My family was a Christian family. I was raised in a Christian home. My granddaddy was a preacher. My daddy was a preacher. My uncle was a deacon. And, of course, none of that will get them to heaven. Along with a whole bunch of other stuff that we name often. Look, you will, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18. For surely there is an end. Did you get there? 23:18. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Now, for the believer, for us, those of us that are born again, our expectations are not going to be cut off. Whatever God said in His Word, and we accept it in our heart, that expectation will not come to an end. As I just told you, I've been saved 50 years, and guess what? Ever since I came down on Father's Day, 1972, to an old-fashioned altar and received Christ as my Lord and my Savior, from that day to this day, my expectation is heaven. I never dreamed I'd live this long. But I have. And my expectation has not changed one iota. Proverbs 24:14, just go right there, if you will. You close? So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. If Christ comes in the rapture before I pass, my expectation is I'll be raptured. But my prayer is, and this is what we pray often, my wife and I, and that is, Lord, if it be your perfect will, let us go up together in the rapture. But I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. Yeah. Expectation. Believers have this firm expectation based on what God has said in His Word. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. I'll give you time. Chapter 11, verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. Now you see how serious this is. And that it could be that there's somebody out here, you have an unreasonable expectation, and you think you're going to be okay, but it's not based on biblical fact, and the fact is when it comes time to leave this life, your expectation shall perish. Let's look again. That's chapter 7:11. Look at chapter 11, verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. In that verse, it is saying that's what they can expect to get. By the way, wicked does not necessarily mean somebody that's a murderer, druggie, and all that. A wicked person would be a person that knows the truth, has been confronted with Christ, knows they're unsaved, and has rejected the saving grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what would be defined as a person that is wicked. Chapter 10, verse 28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish again. You know, if God says it once, it's important. If He says it twice, it's real important and more. Well, everything's important. But here we got five verses right here that talks about the subject of expectation. There are people out here that have all kind of, I have too, but there are people who have all expectation, marriage, money, job, a car, you know, expectations. I want to show you, I want to give you something. One of the saddest, don't turn here, but one of the saddest texts in the Bible to me is in Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, what you're going to see in Matthew chapter 7 is There are people, even living in our time, according to the Bible, this is what Jesus tells in this dialogue. They say that they have prophesied, they've cast out devils, that they've done many wonderful works. But the awful verse that follows is where Jesus says this, and I got it, I'll give it to you. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's also repeated in Luke chapter 13, verse 27. Now, I want to get to the more positive thing, and this is the subject, actually. I'm preaching this morning on what to expect after you have done the will of God. There are people that have an expectation or many expectations of God, but they haven't actually done the will of God first. And if you will, you want to go, by the way, to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. This is going to be the springboard verse and truth that I want to take off from here. Give you about 6 points, come to a closing, and then go to another scripture or two, and we'll close. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says this, "For you have need of patience." Now watch that word, "that after," those two, "that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Now that's strong, because what it's telling us is that we need to first do the will of God and have patience. Then we can have the promise. But this is the way sometimes people turn it about. And they say, "God, if you'll do this and this and this, and I'll do that. And Lord, if you'll make this happen, make that happen, then I will do this or I'll do that." This is not the plan of God. The plan of God in that simple verse right there is we ourselves, when we know the will of God, that's when we're to do it. When we know what God wants us to do, that's when we do it. And the way God is working on this is it's a reciprocal thing where God says, "You do this, I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that." Sometimes we turn it around and say, "Lord, if you'll give me this, I'll do that." That's not the way it works. And that's why some people can't live under the blessing of God. They can't get there because they're always expecting God to do something first before they go all out all the way. So again, the message is this: what can you expect after you have done the will of God? You don't turn there, but in Romans chapter 2, verse 4 down through 11 especially, what's going on in there is God is saying, now, by the way, anytime chapter 2 starts with therefore, okay? Anytime a therefore is there, you want to know what it's there for, okay? It's because it connects chapter 2 with chapter 1 that went before. It talks about the sodomites, the men loving men, women loving women, all that kind of stuff, which is abomination before God, which is a stench in the nostrils of God, all right? But chapter 2 goes into this thing about God not playing favorites just because. And he tells in there what a group of people can expect if they live this way, and what the people of God can expect if they live this way. And that's in Romans chapter 2. You can go there sometimes later and look that up. I was going to read it, but I think I'll pass on it. But there are two responses in there from God where there is a reasonable expectation and result, and an unreasonable expectation and a result. And of course, the result on the ones that were unreasonable was, he said, through the pen of Paul, "This is what you get: indignation, wrath. To the others, eternal life." What can you expect after you have done the will of God? Number one, you can expect your prayers to be answered. So I get my prayers answered, and I don't live for God. I'm not in church all the time. And every now and then I say a cuss word, but I still get my prayers answered. You don't know, somebody else may be praying. God may be answering somebody else's prayer, and you think it's yours. And that could be true of me sometime too. Listen, if you will, it's one of the greatest privileges of life, the Christian life, is to bow our heads and talk to God. First John 5, 14 and 15 says this, and this is the confidence, now that's a big word, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and by the way, when we're walking in the Spirit and trying to live for God and live in the will of God, then we're asking, and the Holy Ghost of God teaches us what to pray. We know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God. Hepatite infirmities. Long, long, long years ago, I'll just be brief on this. I prayed a prayer. I had started a church in Columbus, Georgia. Started a church, and I went there to start the church, and I was supposed to sign a contract on an old house on Warm Springs Road to start that church. It was a beautiful old house, had a kind of like a foyer, like front entrance and all that. It was a German lady, and I was supposed to meet her on Friday to sign the lease. And it was just me and my family, by the way. Nobody but us. Anyway, I got the call. I was on my knees praying. I prayed a prayer. Blurted it out. We had gone to a little church, and just because we were in town, and didn't say, the preacher had asked me what I was there for, and I had told him what I was there for. And there was no conflict and none of that. But anyway, I saw what was happening at the church. I saw that it was down and it was going down. It was in bad shape, and the pastor was resigning, wanting to resign. I never asked anybody anything. I never hinted at anything, but I was praying out in the den in the house that we had rented, and I blurted out, "Lord, if those folks aren't going to build a church there, give me that building." I say, "Preacher, you surely didn't pray." "You didn't." "I did." And it scared me. You know what scared me about it? The minute I prayed it, the Spirit of God gave me peace that that's what was going to happen. So the German lady that was the realtor called me that day. We were supposed to meet the next morning, sign it. She called me with her German accent and said, "I cannot meet with you. I cannot do it. My car has blah, blah, blah." I said, "Woo." Right? And then, I think it was that next day, which was a Friday, one of the men in the church called me and he said, "Brother Lev, can you meet me at Shoney's?" You know what the Spirit of God said to me? "They're going to give you that building." I said, "Sure." I'm sitting across the table from him. Spirit of God's speaking in my heart, not audibly. He's going to say, "We're going to give you the land and the building." He's with the Lord now, by the way, and I was his pastor too after all that happened. He looked me in the face and he said, "Brother Lev, we decided to give you the property and you start the church." I'm talking about, I wish I got every prayer answered, all of them, the way I wanted them. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life is to be walking with God, walking in the Spirit, and knowing that when you talk to God, He hears your prayer. I wish I could say that always, every day, and in every way, God always does. Maybe you want to see Isaiah 59 because it's a good old verse. It's hidden over there in the prophet at the end of Isaiah's prophecy. But it's one that I'm sure your pastor has touched on it before. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Now it does say you, and it does say your God, does it not? Assuming then this is talking about the people of God. "And your sins have hid his face from you." What's this? "That he will not hear." See, one of the reasons why I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, concerning the matter of being patient and doing the will of God first and then receiving the promises, is because there are things that are connected with doing the will of God. Isaiah tells me there are some things that will block our prayer life. I know other verses talk about heaven becoming brass. Listen, if you're saved, you're born again, one of the things that you're going to need and I'm going to need the most in our lives sometimes is that we can get in touch with God like Daniel did. Or like other saints of God did in a moment of time. Listen, you can't wait to get right with God to have prayer power. And neither can I. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do we not need that big time in America? Right. So number one, after that you've done the will of God, what can you expect? You can expect your prayers to be answered. Number two, you can expect your plans to be born of God's purpose. This is what I want, and I trust probably most everybody in here does. We don't really know day in and day out where we're going. We could be heading to a hospital. We could be heading to, you know, we could be heading somewhere, you know, good, bad. We could be, but we don't know. Every day is a new day, right? Expect your plans to be born of God's purpose. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I'll show you something, and this is nothing new. It's just me preaching. But Romans 8, 28. Yeah, I know you can quote it. I can too. And we know. Okay, that's good. That's a real good start. Right? And we know that all things work together. Now, how many things? Okay. All things work together for good. Even bad things work together for good, right? Okay. To them that love God, now that separates it off. That's another dimension there. This is not a promise to just anybody. This is what the Bible says. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to what? His purpose. Let's not do any damage to the word. Let's do it this way. And we know that all things work together for good according to his purpose. I'm not leaving that out saying it's not important. I'm showing you how you can see what he's saying. Because it says here, okay, all things work together for good. And then we can say, well, it's to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But the thing about it is what he is saying is all these things that are going on in our lives are working for good. But it gets to the purpose. I don't know. I know what sometimes I plan day by day. Sleep if I can. Get up. Fix the coffee. Read my Bible. Pray. I've already prayed, by the way, before I get up. Old people. How many old people in here, you wake up in the middle of the night? Anyway, never mind. I do a lot of praying in the middle of the night. And I used to sleep all night and have to have an alarm clock. Now, well, anyway, some young people get this later. But anyway, I want you to think about something with me here. Now think about this. I'm just a South Georgia country boy raised in Valdosta. Think about this. Let me do it this way. I am so much a Bible believer and so much a believer in the perfection of Christ, the perfection of the word, the perfection of Christianity, that I believe this, not one step of Christ was ever misplaced on earth. I believe I'm talking about to the very sand under the bottom of his feet. Every one of them that his foot should have touched. And so I believe this. I believe we see it in the word of God, that all those encounters, personal encounters that Jesus had, can you imagine the perfect timing? The woman at the well, right? She's getting up and she's getting her water pot and she's heading to Jacob's well. By the way, we went there in 1981. I got sick there, I think, drinking that water. But anyway, she's moving toward it, and there comes Jesus. He must needs be go through Samaria. What about this one? Oh, I got to move on. What about Zacchaeus? He has a thought. His thought was, I want to see Jesus, who he is. He's a short man. He runs in front of the crowd, climbs up the sycamore tree. All the kids know about this, right? And while he's climbing the tree, he does not have a clue Jesus is aware of him. And while Jesus is moving that way and he's moving this away and he's in the tree and Jesus comes and stops and looks up at him. Are you getting this point here? God has a purpose and he has a plan. In fact, he has a lot of plans. It'll take you this way and that way to get you here and there. But anyway, Acts chapter 26, look there. You got to see this. Acts chapter 26. We'll look at 12 through 17. Acts chapter 26. Paul giving his testimony again. All right? He said he's giving his testimony. All right? Whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the high priest, this was his intention. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, 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 why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, now you got to remember this. You remember the chapter, two chapters before that, he was standing there and they threw their clothes at the feet of that young man whose name was Saul. He watched while Stephen was being stoned and he heard Stephen, what he said. That's where he got under conviction, by the way. That's why he said here, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this what? Purpose. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will also appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Paul planned to go to Damascus. Had the papers. Going to take people back. Going to imprison them. Right? Boy, his expectation. Don't you love it? You know, I told you about getting saved 50 years ago. I've told this several times around about. My wife was the reason we went. To church today, I got saved. In fact, she was the reason I went the week before. Right? I mean, we was in Forest Park, Georgia, and I was just all involved in fishing, and we was going to Lake Lanier every weekend just about, and, you know, just living that kind of life. And the long story is she had met a lady through her working with the Cancer Society trying to get people lined up on streets to raise because her dad had died at 51 with cancer, living with us. That lady invited her to church, and I came home Sunday before, and Shirley said, we need to get the girls in church. I got this nice lady invited us to church. I said, yeah, you know. So we went. That's when we had the twins, before Lori, our youngest. We went the first week. She rededicated her life. I've told this several times, but you need to hear it. She rededicated her life, and on the way home, she's bouncing off the wall in the car. Ah, you know. I said, cool it. It's exactly what I said, cool it. You can take a good thing too far. It's exactly. My expectation that day was not to become a Christian. Now, I believe the Bible. I really did. I wasn't raised in church. And if you'd ask me, is God, is he real? Yes, I believe in God. Oh, yeah. Next Sunday, we went back. Right. Next Sunday, we came back. That Sunday, I had no expectation. I was sitting right in there on that little church. Right. I had no expectation that God was going to get my heart and draw me by the Spirit and I would get saved. I didn't come in there thinking I'll get saved. That preacher preached. Now, I'm telling y'all, folks, The light came in. For the first time in my life, I saw myself. I saw myself lost. And my heart started beating out of my body. I could hear it in my ears. Gave an invitation. And I came down to that altar. I said, yes, I'm a sinner. And I know it. I don't even remember what all I prayed. But I received Jesus Christ into my heart and life. And here's what I'm seeing. For 29 years of my life, I was on a path. Didn't realize it. But I was just about to be met with somebody coming my way in a little church building. And I was born again. Saved by the amazing grace of God. Wow. So here's Paul. He did not expect on the Damascus Road to have an encounter. Maybe you're here and you didn't come in with much expectation today. I don't put anything past God. He can do anything he wants to do, anytime he wants to do it, anywhere he wants to do it, with anybody he wants to do it. It will always be right. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? That's an Old Testament passage, yes. He shall always do right. We're all here on God's purpose today. Pastor Fallure is in Canada on God's purpose. If he had not felt that it was God's will for him to go, he wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be here. I would be back over in Nashville. Expect when you have done the will of God, when God has revealed something to you, about Him, do it. And expect that God is going to bring your life to the purpose He has for you. It could be He's preparing you to preach. Could be He's preparing you to teach, if you're a man, by the way. He could be preparing you to teach a Christian mother, wife, Christian father. But He's got a purpose. He'll get you there. Number three is expect your purity to give you a clean conscience. The will of God also entails or includes living a clean life. Now, I believe this. This is what I believe, and I believe I can back it up from the Word of God. I especially can from Isaiah. But I believe this. This matter of a clean life, it is more than just giving us access to certain things. It also gives us a clean conscience. I can tell you this. You don't know how valuable a clean conscience. Nobody's perfect now. Look. None of us are perfect. That person doesn't exist. Jesus is the only one. But you can live with a clean conscience. Yeah. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Naught of this world's illusive dreams. Right? Let nothing between. Remember that in the song? There's not a lot of real young ones in here, but can I tell you that there's a world of dirty minds and dirty lives out there. But they should not exist in here. There are so many places that young people can go these days. See things, hear things, know things. I would have blushed at their age. I would have hung my head in shame. Clean conscience. James chapter 4 verse 8 says this, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Now watch. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, what you have in your life, what you hold to in life. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. But listen to what the other part says. Purify your hearts. You and I don't have anything except the blood of Christ to cleanse our hearts. And when we have done the will of God, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, when we have done the will of God, part of that promise is in our repentance, in our getting right with God, God washes us pure. And you know what the Bible says? He cast our sin over his back into the depth of the sea as far as east is from west. Expect that when you've done the will of God, that God will give you a clean heart. We're not going to go there, but Pilate. So Jesus is brought by the leaders, Pharisees and all that crowd, chief priests and all them. Jesus is brought before Pilate. Pilate's disturbed. Okay? He says, I find no fault in him. He's trying to not deal with it because of his political position. Are y'all with me? But he can't step over because of the position he's in. But he's troubled. And by the way, you can prove it from the Word of God. And guess what happens? God gives his wife a bad dream. And she says, have thou nothing to do with that man, that person. I'm not, this is paraphrased. I've had a bad dream about him. When Pilate goes through and does this thing, this is big. What does he do? He gets a basin of water and washes his hands. Just like a lot of people do today, trying to wash away their sin with other stuff that will never work. And here's what I believe about Pilate. Number one, I don't believe he ever got saved. Number two, I believe that's all he's done since he's been there. Can't shake it. Can't shake it. Listen, you better cherish a good, clean conscience. If there's something in your life right now that's not right and you know it's not the will of God for you, chuck it. Win it. Win over it. For I can name some. These are mostly adult people in here. Pornography is one of them. Run. Right, run. Mm-hmm. Foul language. Get it out. If you've developed, I'm just saying, get it out. Confess it. Ask God for cleansing. Ask God to clean you. Wow, Acts chapter 23, verse 1, don't turn there. Paul, again, was testifying, and he earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Paul. He said, man, my heart's clear. By the way, he's falsely accused and all this. And you remember all the stuff that happened to Paul. My conscience is clear. Search me, O God. Remember those verses? Ask God, Lord, what is it about me that offends your holiness, and ask him to help you with it. If you're caught in a habit, if you're caught in something, it's a habitual in your life, it's secret, and you've got it hid, and maybe nobody knows it, but you and God, confess it, forsake it, and get the cleansing that'll make your heart happy, make your conscience clear. What can you expect after you've done the will of God? You can expect your path to be lit by the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the other point, but not exactly. Expect your path. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Did you know, I'm just a simple thinker. It says steps, doesn't it? It doesn't say life, does it? But steps become life, don't they? In other words, the way we get from here where we are, spiritually speaking, is a step at a time until we get where God intends us to be. Remember, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, but he that's in us is speaking to us. Did you know in the book of 1 John there, the Bible talks about we have a witness inside. Well, what does a witness do? Right? Here's what a witness does. A witness talks. And he doesn't do it audibly to us. He does it in that still, small voice. Don't go there. Don't be with them. Don't do that in your life. Don't make that decision. I could name a whole bunch of them. Listen to this, if you will. This is, don't go there. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Feet. Right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Watch this. And a light unto my path. So, what God is saying, and I do believe this, by the way, is how the Spirit of God uses the word of God to light our path. So he's showing me light right here where I am, and the way I get from here to where he wants me is he's lighting the lamp at my feet, the light on my path, but he hasn't shown me the whole picture. You know how you get to the whole picture? One day at a time, a step at a time in your Christian walk. That's how you get there. A decision here and a decision there and a decision there. What can you expect after you've done the will of God? Expect the Spirit of God to lead you in your life. How many times in the Word do we have scriptures? Turn if we will, Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll look at 21 and 22. Now, I hear you, Brother Wright, my pastor, Dr. Charles Wright. He used to say, I hear the pages rustling. I love it. Love to hear those pages. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye shall turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left, expect the Spirit of God to direct your path. When we have done the will of God, when we have sought to walk with God, when we have tried to be filled with the Spirit or to walk in the Spirit in our lives, we can expect that the Spirit of God is going to help us make decisions in our lives. Boy, you're going to need this, young men. Young ladies, you're going to need this. You're going to need it. Psalm 32, verse 7, 8, and 9 says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Imagine how many times God has directed that path. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah, think on that. Ruminate on it. Verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Wow, what a slap. Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God said, don't be arrogant like a mule. Oh, we had a mule on the farm. I hated him. I was raised on the farm in outside of Valdosta. That mule was cunning. They're not dumb. But I was riding him bareback, and we had pecan trees. In South Georgia, there are pecan trees. Over here, they're pecan, okay? But anyway, there was limbs hanging over the fence, and I'm going down the fence row, and I'm trying to get him not to go down under that limb. Well, you know, he had a mind of his own, and he raked me off, but I got to bury him. I didn't kill him, but I got to bury him. That's a big hole you have to dig anyway. Number five, and I'm getting close. Number five, expect your power to be partnered by God. You're not alone in this. You're not alone in it. And I tell you what, you and I better be thankful. We better be glad that there's another power with us. There's another power within us. There are times when we got to have God to help us. the arm of flesh will fail. The arm of friends will fail. God will never fail. I like Job. I don't turn there, but I like Job 23:6. I have quoted it from time to time, but listen to what he says. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. No. But he would put strength in me. Folks, after pastoring 35 years, actually, pastoring 35 years, there's been times in my life I didn't have what it took. I did not have what it took to go through what I went through sometimes. I didn't have it. But I can tell you this. The Lord, at the right time, would give me the spiritual strength that I needed to go through what I was facing. I fell off of a ladder at the church. I got high at church. I was in the ladies' lounge room, 9-foot ceiling. Brother JP, one of my good men still at church, wanted me to be there while he was up in the attic doing something. I went up that ladder. I had a phone. You know, preachers always got to have phone calls you might call needing something. Well, anyway, I had a phone. I had on hard bottom shoes, dress shoes. I'm on the top, the next to the top rung of the ladder, standing there, talking to him, and didn't realize it, and the ladder started moving away from me. I thought I was moving. It shot out from under me. I had that phone in that hand. I grabbed a rafter. I was headed for an armchair with arms. It would have broke me all up. I got the last knuckle on it, stripped the trim off, but it straightened me up like that, and I shot through and shattered that heel bone right there. It was 18 and a half years ago. Thought my ministry was over. Really. It was bad. And everything the doctor told me, if it had happened, I'd have been in a nursing home. Are y'all with me? I had to have God strengthen me. When they did that surgery, I went in that surgery with Psalm 51:8, caused me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I asked them, did I say anything bad in there? They said, no, you're preaching at us. Anyway, I'm just going to pass over. No, I can't do that. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 down through 21. I'll just get you verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Sometimes you're going to need it, that inner strength. You got it here, you got it there. You might think you got it right here, but sometimes you're going to need it from God. Are you with me? On down toward the bottom, verse 20 says, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. My last point is this one. And I don't know how long I've been preaching. Expect peace that passes all understanding when you have got to the place in your life. And this is true for every one of us, preachers included. Preachers have to live by the same word. But this place where we come to the place in our lives where we feel like there's nothing that God has told us that we should or should not do, that we have said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not gonna join that church. I'm not gonna surrender this. I'm not teaching. I'm not doing this. No, I'm not. No. We come to the place where we're willing, if God leads us to do it, we're willing to do it. You know what you'll have? Peace. It's different than a clear conscience. Although a clean conscience will give you peace. When you know that you've got it right, you've fully surrendered. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. We get there, we can have peace. We can have it. There are responses from God when we respond to him. There's three expectations in here today. Believe me, there are. They are the expectations that each individual in here may have. You expect the service to be over and you'll be gone and it'll, you know. You expect you'll go whatever. It could be that you may not expect God to do something in your heart, but that's another expectation. That those three expectations we each have, right or wrong. There's another expectation. The expectation God has as the word is preached. And we maybe are sensitive to the Spirit of God. We say, wait a minute, there's more to it than this. There's more to this church as usual. I'll show you in a minute. And there's also a third expectation. Believe it or not, I hate to tell you this one. But there is the expectation that Satan will win one more time and subvert the hearers, like we see in Matthew chapter 13. Be careful that you don't let the devil take the seed of the word from you. Don't let it happen. He expects to win because he's still winning. But his day's coming. He knows he has but a short time. That's what the Bible says. So I got to ask you, and I'm going to close. The question is who will win? Will Satan win or will God win? Who will win? And doing the will of God and finding your place in the things of God giving in to the work of the Spirit of God as he gives a word to you, who will win? It's always a win, lose, it doesn't matter. Either Satan loses, God wins, Satan loses. No in between. None. Don't expect to go to heaven without Christ. You'll never get there. If you're here and you're unsaved, you'll never go to heaven without Jesus Christ. Never happen. Don't expect God's blessing on your life if you are disobedient to his will and you know it. Don't expect it. Don't expect those things that I have mentioned, six things. Don't expect it. Well, I'll keep praying. You will. I'll just keep thinking that God's giving me light. You might. Anyway, I want you to go one last scripture. And I know you think, man, he's going, oh, no. No, go to Acts, if you will. Go to Acts chapter 3. I just want to give you something. Acts chapter 3. You may not think that you're here for another purpose. You may not. But I want you to watch this. This is chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple now look where they went, into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily, so I know this is not the first time, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, now watch this. Look on us. What does that tell me? He was a beggar. He was ashamed to beg. Totally different than what you see on the streets right here. They'll stare you down. But this man, I believe, was looking down. And here's what Peter said. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, let me tie this together. Here's a lame man. No doubt he's been brought there so many times. He's been set. They've laid him there at the gate. He knows there are people coming and going into the temple, house of prayer, okay, for the time of prayer. Alms. More than likely, I could say that safely assumed that his expectation when they carried him away from his house and brought him there another day in front of the temple, another day hoping to get something else, hoping somebody be kind to me and give me another day, just going to be another day. This makes me want to cry, my brother. It wasn't just another day. Wow. We're told in chapter 4, I think, verse 22, that he was above 40 years old. Imagine this. Can't walk. Lame from birth. Carried by people. Who knows? Laid there by, right at the gate, the beautiful. Laid there. Alms. How many years? 20? I don't know. We're not told. We're told daily. Daily? We're told daily. Wow. Now let's pick back up. Verse 5. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Wow. Okay, he's expecting to receive something. He's expecting to receive something. What's he expecting to receive? Oh, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. So we know he's a preacher. Anyway. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Oh, my hands. Peter reached down and took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And what did he do? He had a hallelujah fit. Did you know there's two chapters taken up because of that? Oh, Lord. You don't ever know what God's going to do. Don't put God in a box. No. No, you don't ever know. The woman at the well. What did she expect? Another day at the well. Right? Demoniac of Gadara. Another day in the tombs. Children probably throwing stuff at him, cursing him, throwing rocks at him. Hopeless! Only problem was, Jesus came up. Some people have said that he could even hear Jesus. But anyway, imagine this, I gotta quit. On a day when he didn't expect it, Jesus shows up. And where do you find him? At the feet of Jesus, clothed. I often wondered about the clothes. And in his right mind, and begging Jesus to let him go with him. What do you expect? What do you expect? What is your expectation? What is your need? Well, Jesus can fix it. And maybe you came, even today, you came with low or no expectation. But it could be this will be the day that the Spirit of God maybe said in your heart, this is it. This is the day. This is your time of surrender. This is your time of getting victory. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You've been invited, maybe. Maybe you just found the church. Stop in, maybe. But you got to see it this way. God got you here. If he can get you here, he can get you to heaven.